The eighth parak focuses on the Isser of Basar B'Chalav. And in fact, the concept, the Isser of Basar B'Chalav, shows up three times in the Torah, twice in Shmos, once in Devarim. Famous pasuk, Lo Tevashel Chkidi B'Chalav Imo, don't cook a kid in its mother's milk. In other words, don't cook meat and milk together. Talking about red meat and milk together, that is an Isser. So why does it say three times? So Chazal tell us there are actually three Yisurim. One is the Isser of Bishul, cooking them together. One is the Isser of Achila, eating them together. And one is the Isser of Hana'a, benefiting. And our Mishnah Aleph, is going to focus specifically on what is meat for purposes of this Isser D'oraisa, and then we'll talk about other issues as well. Mishnah Aleph starts as follows, Kol Habasar, Asur Levashel B'Chalav. All types of meat are prohibited to cook together with dairy. And it's not only talking about the Isra of Bishul, but also the Isra of Achila and the Isra of Hana'a. Cooking, eating, and benefit. All types of meat referring to Behema, Chaya, and Off meat. Behema, domesticated animals like a cow. Chaya, a non-domesticated animal like a deer. And Off, birds, fowl. Those all would be prohibited. Some may be derabanan, but we won't get into that. And chutz mi b'sar dagim v'chagavim, with the exception of the meat or the flesh of a fish and that of grasshoppers, that would be permitted. Dagim and chagavim would be permitted to cook together with dairy. Continuing v'asur, on a rabbinic level, there'd be a prohibition, ha'loso im hagvina ala shochan, it would be prohibited to have on the same table the meat, what we're classifying as meat, behema, chaya, and off meat. It would be prohibited to have it on a table together with dairy. Chutz mipsar dagim v'chagavim, and this prohibition again does not apply to dagim, fish, and grasshoppers. It would be permitted to have those and even eat those together with dairy. And the Bartanura explains here why the prohibition of having it on the same table. We're concerned that somebody, if you have dairy on the table, may bring a boiling hot pot that has meat that was just cooked in it and eat them together and not violate the Isser D'oraisa. So we are concerned about it. Chazal said, don't even have the meat and the dairy on the same table. Continuing, somewhat of a side point here that relates, hanoder min habasar, if somebody makes a neder to not eat meat, what does meat mean? So as the Bartanura tells us, when it comes to making a neder, the major concept, halach achar lashon bnei adam, we use the phraseology, the terminology that is typically used by people. So somebody who makes a neder to not eat meat, what do they mean? Mutar b'psar dagim v'chagavim, they would be permitted to continue eating the meat of a fish and that of a grasshopper, because when somebody made a netter to not eat meat, they made an oath, they swore, I'm not going to eat meat. They did not mean to include basar of dagim v'chagavim. That would not be the common usage. Common usage of meat means of a behema, chaya, and of, and not from dagim v'chagavim. Continuing, referring back to the statement that we had right before this in our Mishnah, where we said that you can't even have on the table, on a rabbinic level, the meat and the cheese together. So we're going to now qualify that. In fact, it is subject to a machlokes ha'of. Ola im hagvina ala shochan ve'enu nechal divrei Beishamai. Beishamai is actually lenient. Beishamai says when it comes to fowl, it's only an Isser D'Rabbanan to have fowl, to cook fowl together with dairy, with milk. Accordingly, because it's only D'Rabbanan, if we would even cook it together, so Beishamai is lenient, you can have it on the same table. Because worst is, if you eat them together, you would violate an Isser D'Rabbanan. So you can have both the meat of a chicken, so chicken or a turkey, fowl, you can have on the same table together with the cheese. And Beis Hillel Omri lo ole velo nechal, Beis Hillel's view, you cannot put it on the same table, you can't eat it, you have to be absolutely careful, even though it's only an Isser D'Rabbanan. This would be included in the prohibition of having the meat and the dairy on the same table. That would be inclusive of fowl as well. Amar Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yossi points out, and he's exactly, actually the Tana of the Mishnah, he's the Tana Kama, that just stated this machlokas between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, ze mikule Beis Shammai mechumre Beis Hillel. Typically, Beis Shammai is the machmir, Beis Hillel is the lenient, but this is an example Rabbi Yossi is flagging to us where Beis Shammai is the lenient, because Beis Shammai is letting us have the fowl on the same table together with the dairy, and Beis Hillel is being machmir. Now, just to qualify that Beis Hillel said there's an iser to put the fowl and the dairy together on the table, are also Beis Shammai. Beis Shammai says that you can't have meat, red meat on the table together with the dairy. Beis Shalchamru, these are Yisroim we're talking about. What type of table is prohibited? B'shulchan she'ochal alav. We're talking about the type of table that you eat on it, because we're concerned that you're eating right now and your hands will be dancing between this food and that food, and it'll go from the dairy to the flesh. You'll eat them together. That's the type of table that we're concerned about, that you're not allowed to have them together on. However, aval b'shulchan she'sudar alav es hatavshil. However, if you have a table that you're just putting the food on before serving it on the eating table, so before it gets to the breakfast table or the dining room table, you have it sitting on another table, or if you have it sitting on your kitchen counter, and that's where you set up the food. In that situation, nosen zeh b'tzad zeh ve'eino choshes, you're allowed to have them next to each other. They're not allowed to be touching, but they can be next to each other. We're not concerned somebody's going to eat them together. They're not eating on that table. We're just concerned that this issur of having the meat and the dairy together on the table is talking about the table that you are eating on. Mishnah Beis continues our discussion and tells us that there are times when having meat and dairy next to each other is not going to be prohibited. We're going to talk about two separate situations. Tzorer ardam basar u'gvina b'mitpachas achas. It's permitted to wrap together meat and cheese in the same cloth. U'bilvad shelo yud nogim zeh bazeh, as long as they're not touching. The Bartanura tells us that if they were touching, even if they're both cold, there would be a requirement to wash them off, because we're concerned the meat got on the dairy got on the meat. Accordingly, the Mishnah is telling us when you want to wrap them in the same cloth, be sure that they're not touching. Otherwise, you have that obligation to be washing them off. Next halacha we've been talking about in the prior Mishnah, that not having meat and cheese on the same table, but we have an exception to the rule where we're not concerned that somebody is going to eat from one and then the other. So Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, Shnei Achsenaim Ochlim al Shulchan Echad, we have two guests at the inn, and the Bartanura explains they don't know each other. They are permitted to eat at the same tables. That Basar v'Zegvina, this one is eating meat, this one is eating cheese. Then Choshishin, we're not concerned that one is going to eat from the other because they are not familiar with one another. They don't know each other. However, if they do know each other, that's when we have the problem. They would not be permitted to eat meat and dairy at the same table. What you could do is put a barrier between them, or one would eat on a mat and the other not. You need something recognizable to remind them to not eat somebody else's food, because they're eating the dairy, the other person is eating the meat, and the vice versa. So we would need something to remind them that they have to stick with only their food and not eat of the others. Mishnah Gimel discusses situations where the milk was actually cooked with the meat. As we mentioned at the beginning of this perek, the pasuk actually three times tells us, Lo sevashel gediba chalev imo, don't cook meat and milk together. So these are going to be some scenarios that occur. Tipas chalav shenafla al hachaticha. If we have a drop of milk and it fell on top of a piece of meat, and what we're talking about is a piece of meat that's actually in a stew of some sort, but this piece of meat is sticking out. For example, it's on top of another piece of meat, so it's somewhat isolated, sticking out, and that piece of that drop of milk fell on top of that piece of meat that's protruding from the stew. Im yesh ba b'no sein tam b'osa chaticha asur. If that milk that fell on it is a no sein tam, which means that there is less than 60 times the meat versus that drop of milk. So it can be no sein tam in that situation. And accordingly, that chaticha itself, that piece of meat, is going to be prohibited, but the rest of the stew is not going to be prohibited, as long as the tam doesn't go and transfer to the rest of that stew. However, ni'er esakteira, if once that drop of milk falls onto that chatich, onto that piece of meat, and immediately the person mixes it all in together. So, in other words, that dropped in and invade and move throughout that chaticha itself, that piece itself, because before that happened, the whole thing got mixed together. Nearest the k'teiri, mixed all stew together, yimeshba benosein tamba osa k'teir. Now we have to look, is there 60 times or not 60 times times the entire stew? So if the stew itself, everything in that pot has 60 times that drop of milk that fell in, then it's going to be okay. Otherwise, if there's not a 60 times, so there's going to be a no sein tam, the tam is going to be transferred, then the entire keder, the entire stew is going to be us, is going to be prohibited. Now we talk about an interesting situation. What happens if a mother, for example, the cow, was shechted and there is milk in its udder? So on a deal oraisa level, no problem whatsoever. When we have the iser, the prohibition of basar b'chal, of meat and milk together, that's talking about milk that was milked. However, milk that's still in the other is not considered milk and meat. It's not considered milk for purposes of this prohibition. That's on a deal oraisa level. Accordingly, the Mishnah says as follows, hakechal, if you have that udder, what you should do is if you want to cook that other udder with other meats, so you want to cook it together, then you have to remove the milk that is in that udder. Koro, you have to cut it open. You have to, the bartender says, you cut it in both directions, up and down. Then you have to umotzi es chalavo, you have to take out that milk, you hit it against the wall, take it out. And once you do that, even if there's a little bit of residue of the milk left, it would be permitted to cook the udder together with other meats together in a pot together. Lo kera'o, however, if you didn't tear it open, if you didn't take the meat, the milk out of that udder, but you want to cook it by itself, and you do that, ain't no over alav, there's no prohibition. The Bartanura and the Gemara tells us that, in fact, that it's mutter to do this, the chatchila, no problem whatsoever, because it's the milk of the udder, and you're cooking it together by itself without other meat. Not a problem, lechatchila, it's mutter. Now we're going to have a related halacha. It's not about milk and meat, but it's a similar halacha, halev. Once you shecht an animal, there are two types of blood that are left in the heart. There is the regular blood that has been absorbed within the heart itself, and then there's the blood that passes through the heart. So we're going to talk about that second type of blood that's in the chambers of the heart. Halev koro umotzi es damo. You have to tear open the heart and take out that second type of blood. The first type of blood, you're going to do the melicha. You're going to salt the heart and take it out. You're going to salt the meat in general, and that'll remove what has been absorbed. But we're talking now about the in the chambers of the heart that is passing through the heart. You have to open that heart and remove that blood. Lo karo, if you did not rip it open, ain't over a lot, there's not going to be an isra karis. What is this talking about? When you have blood, there is an isra karis by eating the blood. So the Gemara actually explains, it's Gemara on Krisus, that tells us, and it's brought by the Bartanura, so motzi astam, you have to make sure to take the blood out. Lokaro, ain't over a lot. What does that mean, that if you didn't rip it out, you don't have an isra? It's not an isra karis. Why? So the Gemara says we're talking specifically about the heart of a bird, that it doesn't hold a kazayis of blood. That's why there's no iser kares. There's going to be an iser, but there's not going to be an iser kares because you didn't have a kazayis, a full amount of the blood, to be chayiv kares. However, when it comes to the heart from a cow, for example, from a non-fowl, from a real meat, from a real animal, in that situation, if somebody would have a kazayis of the blood, which is in the heart, and the heart holds a kazayis, that would be a chiyuv kares. So that would be a terrible thing. Just to finish off the Mishnah, we are harking back to what we said in the first Mishnah, and we have a similar statement that relates directly. Hama'ale es ha'of im ha'gvina ala shochan. Somebody that went, you should not have chicken together with cheese on the same table. But if the person did do that, the Mishnah qualifies and tells us, Eino over below ta'asei, literally, you're not going to violate an Isra Doraisa. But what it's saying is, even if you would eat the fowl and the cheese together, even if you did that, there would not be an Isra Doraisa, because as we know, the Isra Doraisa, lo tevashal kadiba chalevimo, the Isra of cooking it and eating it and having enough from it, that relates to red meat, not to fowl. So you shouldn't be having the fowl and the cheese on the same table. If you did, you're not going to come to violate an Isra Midoraisa, even if you would eat them together. Mishnah Dalet is a very important Mishnah in teaching us the halachas of basar b'chalav. To what types of meat and what types of milk does it apply that when you cook them together, that is going to be the isser? So if we look at our pasuk, lo tivashal gedi b'chalev imo, which is stated three times in the Torah, the focus here is on a gedi, which literally is a kid, but it means a kosher animal. It's the category of kosher animals. And chalev imo is talking about when there is milk from its mother. From the mother is a kosher animal. So we're talking about milk from a kosher animal. Accordingly, we'll see in our Mishnah shortly that the prohibition of meat and milk applies when the meat is from a kosher animal and the milk is from a kosher animal, but if only one of them is from a kosher animal or neither of them are from a kosher animal, then the prohibition is not going to apply. So the Mishnah says in the Reisha as follows, Bisar Behema Tahora, Bechalev Behema Tahora. If we have the meat from a kosher animal and the milk from a kosher animal, Asur Levashel Fasur Bahana, it's prohibited to cook them together. That's Basur Bechalev. And also, if somebody would cook it, there would be an Isur Hana, prohibited to have any benefit, for example, to sell it to a non-Jew. On the other hand, Bisar Behema Tahora Bechalev Behema Tamea, if the meat is from a kosher animal and the milk is from a non-kosher animal, or the reverse, Bisar Behema Tamea Bechalev Behema Tahora, if the meat is from a non-kosher animal and the milk is from a kosher animal, and certainly if they're both from non-kosher animals, Mutar Levashel Umutar Bahana, in that situation it'll be permitted to cook it, it'd be permitted to have benefit. You can't eat it because it's treif, but you could have hana, for example, you could sell it to a non-Jew. And continuing, now we're going to have a machlokes between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yossi Haglili as follows. When we talk about the Isser de Oraisa of not cooking meat and milk together, does that only apply to a behema, which is a domesticated animal, or does it apply to a chaya, which is a non-domesticated animal as well? So Rabbi Akiva Omer, Rabbi Akiva is of the view, chaya ve'of eina min haTorah, cooking when the meat is from a chaya, which is a non-domesticated animal, for example, a deer, or ve'of, fowl, for example, a chicken, that is not going to be De'oraisa, why? Sh'ne'emar lo tevashal gedi b'chalev imo, shalosh be'amim, it says in the Torah, three times, don't cook meat and milk together. Why does it say gedi in that pasuk three times, three different psukim? It says gedi, gedi, gedi three times. It's coming to exclude three different categories of animals that are not included in the Isser d'oraisa of meat and milk. Prat, coming to exclude. Gedi is a kosher animal, coming to exclude lechaya. A gedi is a domesticated animal, for example, a calf or a lamb, something like that. But it's coming to exclude a chaya. It's coming to exclude a non-domesticated animal, for example, the deer. So that's excluded. It's not included in the Isser d'oraisa ula of. It also is coming to exclude fowl, because a gedi is an animal. Red meat, not fowl, ula behema temeya. And also a gedi is a kosher animal. So the third one is coming to exclude a non-kosher animal. So that's Rabbi Akiva's view, that the Isser d'oraisa is when you have meat from a behema, for example, a cow. But it is not coming to exclude a chaya. The chaya would be excluded from the Isser d'oraisa. On the other end, Rabbi Yossi Haglili Omer, he is of the view that not only is there an Isser d'oraisa when you have meat from a behema, but from a meat from a chaya as well. And his limud is as follows. Rabbi Yossi Haglili Omer, Ne'emar, it says in the Pasuk, in Dvarim Yudalit, Chafalef lo sochlu ko nevela. Don't eat a nevela. Nevela, kosher animal that didn't have a proper shechita. That's a nevela, can't be eaten. And also in the same Pasuk, it says, V'ne'emar lo sevashel gedi b'chalev imo, the prohibition of meat and milk together. Why does it say those two in the same Pasuk? To teach us one to the other, that the prohibition of nevela applies not only to a behema, but a chaya as well. So too, the prohibition of meat and milk applies not only to a behema, but to a chaya as well. So that's what the Mishnah says, et sha'asr mishum nevela, those when we have in the application of the prohibition of nevela, nevela applies not only to a behema, but a chaya as well. Asr levashal b'chalav, the same thing applies to bishul of basar b'chalav. You can't cook when you have kosher milk, you can't cook a behema in it, and you also cannot cook a kosher chaya as well. The halachas of nevel apply to both, so too the halachas of basar b'chalav apply to both as well. And when it comes to an off, now we're going to have an interesting limud So accordingly, if we're saying that whenever we have the application and the prohibition of nevela, then also basar b'chalav will apply, so we can have a nevela from a bird, a kosher chicken, but you didn't do a kosher shchita, that's a nevela. So do you want to say as well that the prohibition of basar b'chalav is going to apply to an off? So the Mishnah says, off, sha'asar misum nevela. Off, that indeed, if you don't have a kosher shchita, it's considered a nevela. Yehei asar levasha b'chalav. Do you want to tell me also that there's going to be a prohibition of basar b'chalav with a fowl as well, with a chicken as well? Talmud lomar, but the pasuk teaches us separately that fowl is excluded from the isra of basar b'chalav because it says, Talmud lomar b'chalev imo. You're prohibited to cook an animal, a kosher animal, in its mother's milk. That's talking about an animal. A mammal has milk, but a fowl, a chicken, for example, doesn't lactate, doesn't have milk. Yatza of she'im bo chalev imo, chalev em. This is coming to exclude a fowl that does not have the milk from a mother. So according to Rabbi Akiva, it comes out that the prohibition of meat and milk tracks, for the most part, a nevela, just like a nevela does apply to a behemah and a chaya, so too the prohibition of basar b'chalav applies to not only a behemah but a chaya. But when it comes to an off, even though an off can be into an avela, but an off is excluded from the isra of basar b'chalav because it says explicitly in the pasuk it applies b'chalev imo. When there is milk, that's a mammal, then you have the isra of basar b'chalav. If you don't have milk, like a fowl, the isra doesn't apply. So the bottom line here is we have a machlokas between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yossi Aglili. When it comes to a chaya, is that included in the isra d'oraisa or no? According to Rabbi Akiva, a chaya is excluded. The prohibition of meat and milk only applies to a behema. When it comes to Rabbi Yossi Aglili, he is of the view that both a behema and a chaya are included. But when it comes to an off, that is excluded. There's actually some, of course, you want to say there's a second machlokas between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Maybe when it comes to an off. So Rabbi Akiva would be saying that when it comes to an off, when it comes to a fowl, there would be an iser derabanan of basar b'chalav when cooking off, cooking that chicken, that fowl, together with kosher milk, there would be an iser derabanan. Some explain that according to Rabbi Yossi Aglili, in fact, that may very well be mutter, that it may be permitted. Obviously, we don't pask in this way, but that would be a perush and a second machlokas between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Not only is a chaya, is that going to be included in the Yisr or not, but also on a rabbinic level, is off going to be included or not? Mishnah Hay is a fairly complicated Mishnah. We're going to learn three halachas about stomachs. When we have a stomach of an animal that had shechita done on it and we find milk in it, or use of the stomach with milk, so we'll discuss, is there a problem of basar b'chalav? We're going to learn these three halachas, but in the end of the day, we're going to actually see that there's a stira, a contradiction between the first and the third halachas, and we will attempt to reconcile them. So Mishnah says as follows, a little bit complicated, and the Gemara tweaks the words here. Kevas nochri v'shel behema. If we have the stomach of an animal that was shechted by a non-Jew, such that it is now an avela. So when you have a non-Jew that shech, the animal becomes a nevela. And what it's talking about here is we have this animal that's now a nevela, would have been kosher, but the shechita was done by a non-Jew, so it's a nevela, and we find milk inside of it from a kosher animal. So for example, we had a calf, and it was nursing from its mother kosher milk inside this animal, but this animal is now a nevela when it was shechted by the non-Jew. Hareza asura, the milk inside, or the rennet. It's really rennet, milk turns into rennet that you find inside the stomach is prohibited. Why? Because we go by where we find the milk, and we are finding the milk now in a nevela. Accordingly, the milk is non-kosher as well, even though it came from a kosher animal originally. The next halacha, number two, hama'amid be'or shel keva kashera. Now what we're doing is we want to create cheese. And in order to create cheese, we need to add a curdling agent to milk. And when we add that curdling agent, like rennet, that is what curdles the milk, makes it into cheese. And we find rennet in the stomach of an animal. So what we do is we take the keva, which is the fourth stomach of a kosher animal, and we add that to milk. Hama'amid be'or shel keva kashera. What we're doing here is we're curdling milk, and we're curdling milk combining the stomach of a kosher animal and also milk of a kosher animal. And the question is, does that cause a problem of basar b'chalav? Because it's meat and milk. The stomach is meat. The milk is milk. Im yesh b'no Saint Tom hareza asura. If there is enough meat from that stomach to transfer tom, to transfer the taste of meat to that milk, then that milk is going to be prohibited as basar b'chalav. That is halacha number two. Halacha number three, kishera shiyanka min hatrefa. If we have a kosher animal, let's say call it a calf, and this calf was nursing from a non-kosher animal, and now the shechita is done on the kosher animal, and we find the milk, which is from a non-kosher animal, inside this calf that is a kosher animal. Kevasa asura, that keva. Here it's referring to the rennet that's from the milk. So you find it inside the kosher calf, it is prohibited because it came from a non-kosher animal. We are looking at where the milk came from. It came from a trefa. It was nursed from a non-kosher animal. Accordingly, that milk is non-kosher, even though we had a shechita and we find it in a kosher calf. But that milk goes after, where did it come from? A non-kosher animal. The reverse case, trefa sheyanka min akshera. If we have a non-kosher animal, and it was nursing from a kosher animal, and now we did a shechita on that non-kosher animal. So we have a non-kosher animal, you can't eat the animal, but how about the milk that is inside of it that came from a kosher animal? Can you drink that milk? So the Mishnah says, indeed, kevasa muteris. In this situation, the rennet that you find that came from the kosher milk, you find it inside the non-kosher animal, it's going to be permitted to drink of that milk, mipnei shekhanus b'me'eha, because it is collected together in its stomach, which means we view it as if it's in its own container. It's sitting in its own bowl, its own whatever container it may be. It's contained in a non-kosher animal, but it came from a kosher animal. And accordingly, despite the fact that we find it in a non-kosher animal, because it came from a kosher animal, it is going to be kosher. So that is the statement that conflicts with the first halach. The first halach in this mishnah that we started with, we said that if a non-Jew did a shechita on a kosher animal, that animal is a nevela. And when we find the milk inside that nevela that was kosher milk, that calf that had a non-kosher shechita, it drank and nursed from its mother. It had kosher milk inside of it. We go after the nevela. We go after where we find it. It's not going to be kosher milk. And here we're saying the opposite. Here we are saying at the end of the Mishnah that if we have a trefa, a non-kosher animal, that's like the nevela in the first halacha. Here we have a trefa that drank from a kosher animal, and then we do a shechita on the trefa, the milk is kosher inside of that, because we view it as if it is self-contained in its own container. So indeed, the Gemara asks the stira between the first halacha and the second halacha, and reconciles it that the first view, the first halacha, was an earlier view of the Tanaim, that we are going to look at where we find the milk, and we find it in a non-kosher animal, a nevela or trefa, the milk is going to not be kosher. However, the third halacha was a later view of the Tanaim, that indeed, when we find the milk, we are not going to look at it as if it is in a trefa animal. It is in a trefa animal, but we're going to look at that milk. If it's kosher, it came from a kosher source, we view it as if it is in its own container, and we consider it kosher. Mishnah Vav does not relate to Basar B'chalav, but it has similarities to another Mishnah in this parak, a Mishnah in the prior parak, so that's why it is brought here. For example, in Mishnah Dalet, we talked about the Behema, Chaya, and Of, and at the end of this Mishnah, we will talk about those three classifications as well. So, Mishnah Vav, what we are doing is we are talking about somebody who eats blood from an animal that's prohibited, or Chaylev, which are certain types of forbidden fats from an animal. If somebody ate either one of those by mistake, inadvertently, b'shogeg, they have to bring a korban chatas. So that is a parallel between somebody who eats dam and chaylev, but there are a number of dissimilarities, a number of contrasts between the two. Mishnah Vav says as follows, chomer b'chaylev mi'badam. There are certain areas, certain ways that chaylev is stricter relative to blood, the chomer badam, and there are certain ways that blood is going to be stricter than chalev. What does that mean? We will spell it out now. Chomer b'chalev. When are we stricter when it comes to the eating of chalev relative to the eating or drinking of blood? As follows, there are certain isurim that apply to chalev that do not apply to blood. Shachalev mo'alin bo. If somebody has personal benefit from blood that is owned by the Beis HaMikdash, that is called the Isra of Mi'ila. So that applies when it comes to Chalev. If somebody benefited personally from Chalev that was owned by the Beis HaMikdash, that person would have to bring a korban. The Isra is Mi'ila. And in addition, V'chayavin Alav, if somebody would eat Chalev, it's going to be treated like eating the meat itself. Somebody's going to be Chayav Mishum Kigul, the Noser Vatame. We'll have to explain each of these on a high level. Pigul is when somebody is bringing a korban and has improper thoughts. And on a high level, what it means is they have in mind to do, for example, the eating of the meat of the korban outside of the proper time. So there's a certain time amount that you're allowed to have. And when the person is either doing the shechita or the kabbalah, receiving the blood, or doing the holacha, bringing the blood to the mizbeach, or doing the zrika of the blood on the mizbeach, that person has in mind, I am going to do the eating of this korban outside of the allotted permitted time. So if the person actually went and ate instead of the meat, the chalev, that is also going to be an iser. And the person is going to have to bring a korban chatas for that. And also v'nosar, that is somebody who has meat from a korban. It has a certain allotted time that the person can eat it. And the person eats it after that allotted time. That is eating of nosar. And tame, if somebody has the meat of a korban and he is tame and eats it, that is the issur of being tame when eating a korban. So if somebody did in any of those, not only they ate the meat, but they ate the chalev. So he ate the chalev that is considered pigul, and he ate it out of the proper time. They had the improper thoughts, and he ate that meat that is pigul, but instead of the meat, he ate the chalev. Or he, instead of eating leftover meat out of the allotted time, the nosar, he ate the chalev. Or when he was tame, instead of eating the meat, he ate the chalev. In all of those, there would be a chiyuv of chatas. In addition to having eaten chalev, you have to bring a korban chatas as well for violating the prohibition of pigul or nosar or tame. Masha enkein bedam, in contrast, when it comes to blood, if somebody would benefit, for example, from the blood owned by the Beis HaMikdash, there would be no mi'ila. Or if somebody would eat the blood that is from an animal that is a pigul, a nosar, when he is tame, again, because he's having the blood, he's not having the meat or the chalev, there would be no violation. V'chomer b'dam. Now we're going to see the flip side. When are we stricter when it comes to blood? Blood is stricter than chalev in certain circumstances. Shadam noheg b'behema v'chaya v'of. That the prohibition of having blood, drinking blood, it applies whether the blood is from a domesticated animal, a chaya non-domesticated animal, or v'of, or a fowl. And it also applies bein tamei and bein tahorim, whether the blood came from a non-kosher animal or a kosher animal. That is when it comes to blood. In contrast, v'chelev eino noheg ela b'behema tahora bilvad. When it comes to chelev, the prohibition of eating chelev, the prohibited fat, that only applies when it comes from a kosher behema, a domesticated animal, but it would not apply to non-kosher animals, and it would not, you certainly can't eat the non-kosher animal that's eating tarfus, that's in of itself a lot, but when it comes to eating the chalev, the prohibition of chalev itself only applies from a kosher domesticated animal, and not all of the other types of animals that were aforementioned when it came to the prohibition of blood.